Dubai Eye
103.8. We like to meet individuals, movers, shakers, those that have made a name for themselves here in the UAE through their hard work and their commitment in their chosen field of expertise. And a truly inspirational guest joins us here today. Our feature guest is an expert in many disciplines, including art and design, architecture and Arab culture and heritage. In the 1980s, she began the private art collection for His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi and the Deputy Supreme Commander of the UAE Armed Forces, as well as setting up and overseeing the Cultural Foundation in Abu Dhabi. Hails originally from Iraq, grew up here in the UAE. She herself has a vast collection of rare art, handmade carpets, antiques, and a closet full of traditional Arab dresses. She is a go-to and an authority on all things culture here in the region. She is the one and only Dr. Reem El-Matwali, joins us live here in the studio. Reem, lovely to see you yet again.
Hello, nice to see you both.
Nice to have you on board, and welcome to Making Tracks, where basically we're going to talk about you over the next couple the next hour or so. So thanks so much indeed for joining us there. We'd basically like to sort of paint a picture of why so many different people, talented people, inspirational people come to the UAE and find this place so inspiring and stay here and look to make roots here, not just for themselves and their family, but also future generations. So to that end, maybe you can take us back to your childhood for a while. Just paint a picture for us, if you can, Reem, about where you grew up and what that sort of instilled in you from a young age.
Oh, where do I start?
The beginning.
This is interesting. Let's see. It's a nice walk through memory lane. Let's begin with the UAE. I came here at the age of maybe 5 or 6. And at that time, the UAE looked completely different to what it looks like today. So I am one of those privileged people who managed to see or experience in real life, in real time, how everything evolved and changed. I remember the first time I went to school, we had to walk wearing boots because there were no asphalted streets. And your feet sort of sunk in. You know how when you go to play on the dunes here as part of the visitors' fun things to do when they come into the UAE? That was our life then at that time. I remember, for example, when we needed to travel, we had to wait for the right manifesto, air flight manifestos, when there was enough people for the pilot to make a decision to come down and collect the people on that trip as he was passing by. I remember that the airport was just a tarmac and a car, a jeep, which had the necessary communication apparatus to connect with the flight crew. So that was how Abu Dhabi was when I first came. And it was a very small community. Everybody knew everyone. It afforded us many privileges because families got to meet together and visit, socialize. So the community was tight-knit. People knew each other on a name-to-name basis, first name basis. So it was a wonderful time to experience. And with time, all of this changed and more people started coming in. And as you said, if we look at history, anywhere in the world throughout history, wherever you have a pocket of prosperity and tolerance, which is our year of tolerance this year as well, when you have those two together, you tend to see a lot of people coming in because it presents the grounds for innovation, creativity, mutual understanding, bridging through between cultures, and people tend to like that stability and so on.
You mentioned there about the simplicity of life, and that is a sentiment that many of us have when growing up because we don't have the stresses and strains of later life that might affect us in our later year, teenage and then, of course, adult years. So it is an element, a byproduct of childhood. But when you talk about the simplistic principles of life in those days, and fairly sort of basic surroundings as well. Is that sort of a sense of, is that a part of the UAE you miss, or is that something you can still find in this day and age when you look a little further and dig a little deeper?
I don't think you would find it anymore. It has all gone. In those days, people's homes were open and people would walk in and say hello and have a meal, be it lunch, dinner, or, you know, breakfast even. This doesn't happen anymore. You need to make appointments. People are very busy. Doors are locked. This is the nature of urbanization. This is the typical result of any growing city. So I don't think we can go to the back, but I think we could learn from it and we could use it and be inspired by it so that we can, you know, cultivate a better future.
What about your early school days as well? Were you a model student in your early years? Were you somebody who enjoyed being at school?
Well, it's interesting because from what I just painted in Abu Dhabi, I was taken away and plunked into boarding school in England. Completely, completely different atmosphere with nuns,
Right, okay.
At a convent in the middle of Surrey. So imagine from absolute desert to immense greenery and isolation, both of them isolated, you know, because there we were confined to the nunnery. But it was a complete change of life and having to learn, a different language, learning different habits, understanding a new culture was a complete shock to my system. I thought my parents had adopted me and threw me away.
And you were young at that age when you were sent away.
I was 10.
10 years. Okay. Yes. Which is, it's a major shift, isn't it? You know, when you, as you say, from, especially with the, not just the geographical distance, the cultural distance
very
as well.
Much so. Yeah. Yes. But I think it adds to your character.
Sure.
And it builds your confidence. It allows you to learn to live with other people. Again, it takes you back to the idea of tolerance, accepting the other, understanding that there are different cultures and nobody is right and nobody is wrong. You know, there are different shades of grey.
Listen, we've been, you've been kind enough to supply us with a couple of songs because in this segment of the show, we like to ask people to supply us with a few sonic signposts, if you like, a couple of landmarks when it comes to lyrics, songs that are close and meaningful to you along that way. Maybe you could introduce your first song to us. You've chosen a Louis Armstrong piece. I'm sure a few people will know this one.
Well, this was my father's favorite song, and I grew up listening to it. And my father just passed away 2 years ago, and he was always my idol.
So this is a very meaningful song for you, Reem, and obviously one that is very particular to many out there. It is the first song on today's Making Track.
Trees of green, red roses too, I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry.
I'm in conversation with Dr. Reem El-Matwali. We're working through her early years, those formative years now as well. And when we left Reem, we left her in her convent boarding school in Surrey in the United Kingdom. I mean, when you look back on it now, is it a time of your life, a period of your life you enjoyed? Do you think you took something from it?
Oh, I learned a lot from it, yes. Mm. I'm one of those people who enjoyed being at a boarding school. Many people don't, and they get dragged there. But to me, I met my best friends there. I formed a lot of my interests, found my passions through what I was studying over there. But it was an interesting time in my life, and it was another experience to add to what I've had before, you know.
And it must have been quite interesting coming back here on holidays as well.
Yes.
Again, that sort of compare and contrast of two different places.
Definitely. Yeah. And as we were just saying, you don't know, you know, you're plucked from one place to the other, and you really don't understand where you are going and where do you come from. And it's a very challenging aspect, but out of it, I think you can come out with many interesting experiences.
Mm. You mentioned there that it was through that education process. Did you stay in the UK for secondary education as well?
Yes, I finished my A-levels from the UK. Yeah. I got accepted at the Royal College of Surgeons to do medicine.
Wow, really?
I was one of those geeks, as my daughter would say. You know?
And she's listening on. It's not true, surely. So was that a pathway that you were going to go down?
Yes. And then I flew to the States. I was plucked from there by my parents again. I don't know why they did these things to us, but it helped, I suppose, at the end of the day. I went to university in England, in the US, and by chance it happened. And I ended up changing my career, and that's a very pivotal moment in one's life, because here I am. I thought always that I'm going to be a doctor, surgeon, and I go to the States, and my mind opens up at university there into all sorts of experiences, which is what happens in the US university,
of course,
you know, less rigidity, you know, experimentation and so on and so forth, without elaborating more. And then I ended up finding myself in art, in architecture, in design. And
Was that because of the institution? Was it because of the state you were in? Was it because of the culture that you're in?
I think it's a culmination of all of this. I think the more you experience things, the more you learn, and you learn about your own self in a way, and you discover yourself in it. And being transported from one culture to the other. I mean, UAE, as I described it, how it was then, Iraq, which I don't know much about because I just come from it, you know, because my parents are from Iraq, and then going to England with all the British style of life and, you know, attention to details and rules and regulations and all that. And then you're dropped into, you know, people will laugh when they hear this, but I was dropped into Midwest America.
Yes.
In the middle of nowhere with the cows and all of that. And I was put there to do my university education. And that helped me learn to live with people and societies and backgrounds that are completely different.
So what did you end up studying there?
I did my first degree, which was interior architecture. Hmm. And then left there, went back to England again and decided to look for my roots and understand where I came from, because I was getting so puzzled.
We will delve into those roots with you in just a few moments' time. Listen, you've been kind enough to choose some songs for us. Second song, again, I mean, how do you follow What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong? Well, I think you have certainly followed it by another classic. Tell me more about this John Lennon track.
Well, it reflects what I was going through. Imagine if we had no country, you know, because where do we really come from? That's the question, who we are, what we are.
So this
These
is
are the questions.
Art imitating life for you, and the other way around as well. Imagine by John Lennon, track number two for Reem El-Matwali.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard.
This is the final hour of the agenda this week. We have a very special guest featuring on our Making Tracks section today, when we invite industry leaders, thought provokers and opinion makers here in the region to give us their thoughts on how they came to be here in the UAE, what they've achieved here in the UAE, and of course what the future holds. And Dr. Reem El-Motwali is our subject of our conversation today. We've been wending our way through the UAE to Surrey, over to the American Midwest, back to the United Kingdom now as well. So arts, your interest for the arts gets sparked over in the American Midwest, and then yes, you move back to the UK to further the education,
yes,
is that right?
I go back to SOAS.
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Yes. And I do my master's in Islamic art and archaeology, and I do my PhD in the same field. Mm. And I start discovering more and more about my culture, my background, my Iraq, Syria, Arab world, and so on and so forth, and learn more about them and study them and understand them and research them in the area of art. And come back to the UAE to take a position at a place that was just beginning to be established, and that was called the Cultural Foundation. So you have to remember that my original arrival to the UAE was to accompany my father, who came in as one of the first few men to help create the UAE as a country, invited by the late Sheikh Zayed, bin Sultan Al Nahyan. So when I came back, I wanted to give back to this country that gave me so much. And I started my work at the Cultural Foundation, and I started establishing the first art and cultural department in the country at the time.
So if we just take a step back in terms of that draw back to the UAE, and you talked there about the influence of your father and the close links he had with the rulers here in those early days, something that you were very proud of as an entire family, remained continued to be so. You've studied in SOAS, you've been in London, a very vibrant time as well, and seen the variety of opportunities. Yeah. And coming out of SOAS and coming out with that PhD in that field, opportunities are endless for you. Was there that sort of almost human pull back to the UAE?
Definitely.
Really?
Definitely. The need to give back, the need to play a role, to make one's life mean something. Maybe that's very sentimental.
Not
I don't
at all,
know,
no,
but
no. It's interesting because all of our subjects, they talk about this sort of draw to the region.
Yes, and understanding or finding out what could be the role that I can play, and art was something that was very new. It's new now and today, you know, with the building of the Louvre and so on and so forth. But we started in the 80s.
When you say art was new, was that the conservation, the preservation, the documentation of art?
Definitely. Well, and also the introduction of the idea of art as a concept of culture, music, literature, theater, art, you know, paintings, sculptures, and so on and so forth. So when we first started the Cultural Foundation, it was very imperative that we accompany whatever programs we are doing with an educational program that supports that and introduces that and allows people to understand what's being presented. So we were really in the formative years and forming all of this. And the Cultural Foundation became a hub where the whole city of Abu Dhabi and the surrounding area congregated and met and experimented with all sorts of different elements of culture. And that was a wonderful experience to go through and to work with. And it culminated in me producing two books, which we've talked about before. My first book was on the Old Fort, which is the oldest building in Abu Dhabi, which has just been reopened a few months ago after renovation. At the time, I thought it was important to do the surveying of that building as well as other fortifications in the Emirate of Abu Dhabi and document them and put them into a book so that they will stay for the future, you know, preserved in, for the future generations to learn from and to understand. So that was my first book. And then the second book was the Sultani, which is related to the collection that you spoke about. Again, because I lived here and because I experienced life firsthand and lived among the people of the UAE, I was privileged enough to collect, without even noticing, without even thinking about it, collect pieces of dress and articles of dress and jewelry and adornment and so on and so forth. And by chance, I kept them as I wore them, as I dressed in them and as I experienced them with others that were my peers, to find out that I have a collection that we can document and write about and understand. And hence comes the second book, which is on the dress, the evolution of dress in the UAE, which is not really a book, but it's a 1,000-page, you know, huge door stopper. And it took us 8 years to produce because I write in both Arabic and English, so it takes a lot of time to make sure that both correspond to each other. And I am very meticulous about the artwork and the design and the concept that I am presenting. So it takes time to produce, but they both of them are very wonderful books that, to me, at least document my lifespan in this area of the world and what I could give back to it.
When you look back and when we consider the private art collections, the Cultural Foundation, your collections as well, and when you set out on this journey, having been sanctioned to do so by the rulers in Abu Dhabi, were doors open to you left, right and centre, or did you find that a number of doors were being closed and you had to educate people in the way? And has that mentality changed over the years?
I think in all walks of life, if you are a person that have a drive and persistence and you have a dream that you want to conquer, you will find doors that are closed and you will find windows from which you can enter.
The doors closed, go through the window.
Yeah. So it's up to you. And thankfully, I mean, I've been lucky enough to be able to find those windows to achieve those dreams.
We will move on to talk about the present and the future, influenced in many parts by the past as well. We've talked to you about your work with Kasra Hassan, amongst other initiatives here. And we'll continue that conversation in just a little while. But I'm interested, and I think this is a good time to break for our next song, because we've been talking about sort of the creation of these extraordinary collections in this extraordinary part of the world and in the city that you call home. And I wonder whether this next song has been partly influenced by that. If the next song four on our agenda here today, we're talking to Rima Amatwali here on Making Tracks. This is song number three. I'm sure it is familiar to many. It is, of course, song number three. There is one more still to come as well, and we will continue that conversation with Dr. Rima in just a few moments' time. If you'd like to share your thoughts, some really kind comments coming through from a number of listeners, then feel free to do that now. The lines are still open. Text us 4001.
Say you don't know me, knee-deep in the hoopla, sinking in your fight. Too many runaways eating up the night. My pony plays the mambo, listen to the radio. Don't you remember, we built this city, we built this city on rock and roll. We built this city, we built this city on rock and roll. We built this city, we built this city on rock and roll. Someone always playing corporation games. Who cares? They're always changing corporation names. We just want to dance here. Someone stole the stage. They call us
our conversation and conclude our conversation with the subject of today's Making Tracks. It has been a fascinating chat with Dr. Reem El-Metwalli, a vast collector of rare art, handmade carpets, antiques, and a closet full of traditional Arab dress, as well, of course, the brains behind the Cultural Foundation in Abu Dhabi, amongst other private art collections. Reem, it's been a fascinating journey. It's been a fascinating chat. And one thing that seems to have rung true throughout our conversation, and whether it's something you would back up, is the importance of family for you, and whether Abu Dhabi has been part of that sort of building towards family and family growth here, and whether it still remains to be to this day.
Yes, it does, and hence I'm still here. So, of course, definitely. But I think with every stage in life, you are presented with opportunities and you are presented with challenges. You take them, you go through them, you execute them, and you move on. So from one experiment to the other, I've been lucky to be able to have experienced so much, and it leads you from one thing to the other. And now I am in a new place with a new project. As you know, I have created something called the Zay Initiative, and it is based on the collection, the studies, the background, the history, and the need to preserve an overall Arab culture rather than just a particular UAE or Iraqi or any sort of other culture, but to look into our area of the world and try and extend bridges to the rest of the world. And maybe that's where my role should be nowadays, because it culminates the experiences that I have had and puts them together into this non-profit organization that helps collect and document and exhibit various forms of cultures, be it through exhibition or through even the social media and other platforms, and so that people will know and understand and learn more about each other.
Is that where you see yourself exerting your efforts in the coming years, in the future as well?
Yes, in the moment. I think this is what I feel I can give back with. It's a wonderful project, and it allows me to experience new experiences, meet more people, add to the knowledge of our culture and a community, and hopefully help preserve some of it.
With all of your initiatives, your projects, your feathers in caps as well. It just beggars belief when you ever get time to yourself. Do you get time to relax and do a bit of downtime, a bit of ream time?
Workaholic. You know, it's a privilege to be able to enjoy one's work. I think that is the best blessing one can have, because it makes you want to wake up in the morning and it makes you the next day. And I'm so happy because it will give me something to do for the rest of my life. Mm. And I enjoy that very much.
Dr. Reem El-Matwell, if people want to find out more, we'll put all the links up onto our pages. But equally, you can find them on social media, on the internet and elsewhere. Just search. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much indeed for your
time.
Thank you. Really appreciate you coming in and sharing some light.
It was so wonderful. Chatting with you always.
It was nice. It was nice to chart those years. And of course, the extraordinary achievement that you've achieved to date. And I'm sure we'll continue to do so into the future, and leaving your mark here on arts and culture here
Thank
in the
you.
UAE for many years to come.
Thank
There's
you
one
so
more
much.
Song as well, isn't there?
Yes. This
What's
one,
this one?
This is very interesting, actually. It's funny, but it's one of the songs that my daughter and I enjoy very much. And we tend to dance to it.
So it's the perfect one to set us up for the weekend, yeah?
Yes, I hope so.
Dr. Reem El-Matwell, we thank you. That was Making Tracks. That was Dr. Reem El-Matwell. And that was the agenda for another week. Stay tuned, because you've got an hour of music coming away in just a few moments' time. And then, of course, it is Helen Farmer in the afternoons from 2 o'clock. Zenas Alamea, thank you.
Thank you. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend to one and all. Marcus Bautista, happy birthday to you. Our thanks to Melanie and all the team back of house. Back on Sunday.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. I ain't no size 2, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got that boom boom that all the boys chase. And all the right junk in all the right places. I see the magazine working out Photoshop. We know that ain't real. Come on, now make it stop. If you got beauty, beauty, just raise them up. Cause every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your size. She says boys like a little more booty to hold a knife. And no, it won't be no stick figure silicone Barbie doll. So if that's what you're into, cause you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass. Hey, I'm bringing booty back. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, because you know I'm all about that bass.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.